Got a special guest speaker today, so I'm going to invite Lechen back up and we'll have a quick prayer, and then I'll pass over to Lechen for the word. Father God, I just want to pray for Lechen right now, that you just give him the words to say to us. The words that Lechen speaks are from you, hopefully, and not from him. Pray, Father God, that we're able, as a congregation, just to hear what you want us to hear today. We just want to give this time to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you for this amazing opportunity to share with us. It's always a blessing for me when I have opportunity to share. And I will tell you the reason why. Because I noticed every time I have opportunity to share, I always can deliver as much that God is given unto me. So it's almost like you can give everything that God is given unto you while preparing. So in a way, I feel I need to hear this sermon before I even speak about it, because I get a little more than I can even actually deliver. And God is good. God is faithful. And thank you so much, Pete. Thank you to Calvary Chapel. I'm just very thankful for this opportunity. And I pray that each and every one of us will be blessed, will be encouraged and inspired and challenged as well. Shall we just have a quick moment of prayer? Our Lord, we thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the entrance into your word, Lord, gives light. We thank you that you are the one who teaches us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that reminds us, that enables us, that helps us learn from you. Lord, we just thank you that you are with us. We thank you that our gathering is unto you, not to any man, not to anyone. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the one who has saved us. We thank you that you paid a price for each and every one of us on the cross. We thank you that if only because of you that we are here this morning, if not because of you, we will have been in our own separate worlds. But Lord, we thank you that you brought us together with this common goal. We thank you that Jesus, you are the center of it all. Lord, we just pray that as we learn, as we enter into your word, we ask that you will teach us. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Lord, I turn myself over to you. I pray that you will speak through me. You will just enable me, Lord, to deliver what you want me to deliver to your people this day. I pray that it will be nothing of me, but it will be all of you. We pray that Jesus will be exalted, that all glory, all honor and praises will be to you, Lord. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty precious name, amen. We haven't got slides today, so we have to do a lot of flicking. I'm sure some of us will really like that. But you will have to open your Bibles as I call scriptures. So are we ready for that? So perhaps you haven't got your Bible. I will encourage you to please do, because there is nothing on the slide. And because of my accent as well, you have to listen a little bit harder. Yes, it's good for us to listen a little bit harder. So please, if you have your Bible, let's open to John chapter 2. I feel God is placed on my heart to share with us from this reading this morning. From John chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1 to 11, and I will try to go through verse by verse and see how the Lord will speak to each and every one of us. He said, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pot with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tested the water and was made wine and did not know where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. These beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So here we read of the account of Jesus at a wedding. So the first thing that stood out to me was the verse 2, when it says, now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. For me, that is the first point, the invitation. And that really proves to us the character of Christ, who Christ is. Number one, it shows to me Christ doesn't force himself to the scene. He was invited. Christ was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And when we invite Christ into any situation, he's there. He will never step in. If you remember, I remember someone once saying, well, after hearing this scripture, Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you hear my voice, I will come in. So basically, Jesus is saying, look, I'm here. If you want me to come in, I'm knocking. But you have a choice to open the door or to keep the door shut. I remember someone just said jokingly, he said, Jesus, I can't find the door. Just break the door in. And but basically was saying, just come in. So we have a responsibility, number one, to know Christ, to know him personally. Perhaps we only know him a little bit or not so deep. So we have to know that he wants to be in. He wants to be in every area. And Christ will never step into any area he's not invited. So you and I, we have a responsibility. Even as believers, sometimes we have some areas of our life, we are still in control of that area. Or we are still in charge of this area. But Christ wants to be in charge of all. And it's to our own benefit, it's to our own advantage. It is great for us when we invite Christ into every areas of our life. I know most of us, we are believers. I know all of us have said yes to Jesus. But I just want to ask you today, perhaps there is one or two area you feel, I think I'm still in charge here. You feel, I think I'm still the one controlling this area. I just want to encourage you, let Jesus take over. Just invite him into all the areas of your life. And as we carry on, we will see. So we always want a change in a situation. We always want something different in our lives. Perhaps, I don't know about you, but about me, there are a lot of things that I desire to see, which I'm not seeing. I desire to see this nation, you know, working greatly as it were before. People, you know, having that knowledge, having the knowledge of Christ in them. People walking in the reality of that truth, but I'm not seeing a lot of that. I desire to see churches filled with born-again believers. I'm not seeing lots of that. I desire to see miracles. I desire to see healings. I desire to see great things happening in our world. But I'm not seeing it. And I began to think, Lord, why? What's happening? Have you changed? Your word says you never changed. You had the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, we read about all these testimonies. We read about all these miracles. And it's almost like it's a fast distance. It's almost like something like, oh, we are being told. But it's real. It actually happened. We saw people get healed. We saw people's eyes open. We saw God doing miracles in the life of people. But why do we see so less in our world today, even amongst us Christians, even in churches? We do not see a lot of miracles, as it were. We do not see people genuinely, safely sound, as it were. But I think as we go on, we will see reasons why some of these things are not happening. I think the first thing is we must invite Jesus. We must invite Jesus into all of our meetings. You know, when we have a prayer meeting, who is leading? Jesus is leading. When we have a Bible study, who is leading? Jesus is leading. When we meet people, when we go in our lives individually, when we go to our places of work, who is leading us? When we are home, when we are meeting friends, when we are speaking with neighbors, who is leading? Until when we begin to see that nothing happens to us by chance, until we begin to become conscious of, look, God, why am I here? Why am I here at this time, in this position, in this situation? Until we begin to see Christ leading us in every situation, and our perspective will begin to change. I just want to say, you know, we should be the change that we desire to see. I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. I desire to see these things, but am I willing to be used of God? Am I available? When God asks me to speak to a neighbor, will I really do that? When God asks me to invite someone, will I really do that? I desire to see all these things, but it all relies on you and I. We have a part to play. And remember in John 10, he said, I've come to give you life and to give you life in abundance, but the thief has come that he might steal from you. And Jesus expressed himself as the true shepherd. He said, I come in. I come through the door. Talking about that scripture, the invitation, inviting Jesus into the scene. And when we go to verse 3, it says, and they ran out of wine. And the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And this is what really stood out to me. As Christians, as believers, as individuals, we will run out of wine. Not necessarily wine as it were, not necessarily drink, but we'll run out of wine. We'll be in situations we don't imagine. We'll be in situations that are difficult, that are challenging. Some of us might be health challenges. Some of us might be a family member. Some of us will have different concerns. Some of us might be finance. If we could have different kind of challenges, we are always, one day, if you haven't, definitely we will, run out of wine. And I have run out of wine in my life. I've been in a situation where I knew, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm finished. And yes, it did help me. I've been in circumstances I know if nothing happens, this is the end. And miraculously, he stepped in. And when I thought it was all finished, when I thought it was all over, I saw God making a way. So I just want to encourage each and every one of us here. Perhaps you've run out of wine. Perhaps you're in a situation that you are not happy about. Perhaps you have something, you have a burden in your heart. Perhaps there is something weighing you down at this time. Perhaps there is something that it's heavy, there is a burden you are carrying. Perhaps there is something in your life that you desire to see, you are not seeing. Or there is something you want taken away that is still there. We are in that situation. I am in that situation. There are things in my life, in my heart, I'm calling God for. There are things I want God to change in my life. There are things I want God to change in my family, in my extended family. I have family members who do not know Jesus, and they're genuinely a serious concern for me. I'm genuinely concerned for their future. I'm really, really worried. I don't want to use the word worried. I use the word concerned. But if I were to say it, I'm actually worried for them. And I'm sure we might do as well. But we are in a situation where we've run out of wine. And we see in the occasion of this wedding, they ran out of wine. And what does that mean? It means in that day, it means something quite shameful. So perhaps there is something shameful within ourselves. There's something we are not proud of or we are not proud about. Christ, if we invite him to the scene, is available. He is available only if we invite him. I wrote down here that they ran out of wine and Jesus' mother said to him, they ran out of wine. And we read Jesus' response. It makes me chuckle when I read it. It's almost like, oh, Jesus, they ran out of wine. It's almost like, yeah, I know. Because it was like saying to Mary said to Jesus, they ran out of wine. And Jesus said to him, my hour is not yet come. And I was thinking, why did he say my hour is not yet come? And of course, last week we read about the hour Christ was referring to. The hour when he was talking in Luke 19, he was talking about the triumphal entry. But Jesus was referring to that particular hour, which unfortunately the people in those days of Israel, they missed it. And Christ was weeping over the land because they missed that hour. This was the only time Christ allowed himself to be portrayed as a king. He rode on the donkey and they missed that hour. And when we carry on, the woman said, and Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. So in verse 5, it says, his mother said to the servant, whatever he says to you, do it. And for me, this would be my emphasis today. It's a very simple word, but yet very profound. I want to ask you a question. Can you say yes to this word? Wherever Jesus says to you, you do it. How many of us can boldly say, yes, wherever he says to me, I do. I can't say that. I don't know about you. You might be able to, but I can't. I don't always do whatever he says to me. I don't always do it. Sometimes I do completely the opposite or don't do it at all. But this is a very, very simple word, but it's very profound. For me, if I were to pick a scripture in my whole life that I found very, very challenging, is this verse. Whatever Jesus says to you, do it. It takes a lot of obedience. It takes a lot of trust. You cannot obey someone you don't trust. If I don't trust you, I'm not going to obey you, will I? No. But if I trust you, wherever you tell me, because I trust you, I can hold you by your word, I will do it. So it's down to that question, do we trust him? Wherever Jesus says to you and I, is that what we do? Or someone like me, do you do the opposite or do you not do even at all? For us to see miracles, for us to see things change, for us to see a difference in our walk with him, we must be able to do that. Wherever Jesus says to us, we must be ready and be willing to do it. And I've got a question for you. Is Jesus saying anything to you? Is he? Is Jesus saying something to me? By his prompting of the Holy Spirit, is he saying something to me? Is there something he wants me to do that I'm not doing? Is there something that he said to me that I haven't done? But you know what, something I discovered about how great our God is really, really patient with us. You know, I always say to Yana, jokingly, I said, I've always thought I'm patient until we have children. And then I began to pray for actual, real patience. Because I always thought, you know, I'm very patient. But when you have children, they really push the boundary. And now I'm beginning to pray, Lord, please give me patience. But I thought I always had patience. But God is not like that. God is not like me. He is patient with us. And he's not in a rush. Sometimes he takes us back to that same spot. And there is something that I was really blessed with that Barry shared. He said, always, God asks us the same question every day. And the question is, do you trust me? It comes in different ways. But he's still asking that one same question. Do you trust me? And until when we can obey, until when we are willing and we are ready to really, genuinely obey him, we begin to see difference in our world. I said obedience is key to walking with Christ. You remember, that's why I really love that hymn so much. Trust and obey. It's true. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. That's it. That's the sermon. There is no any other way for you and I to be happy in Jesus except we will trust and obey him. And Jesus has called us to obedience. That is what he said to us in John 15, 14. He says, if you love me, you will do my commandments. In John 14, 15, he says something similar. He said, you are my disciples if you do whatever I tell you. So you and I, what are we going to do? When Jesus speaks to us, when he inspires us, when he gives us that Holy Spirit prompting, what do we do about it? Do we really do it? Or do we not do it? God wants to work in and through each of us more than we desire. But we have something to answer. Obedience. You know, I really desire for God to use me. I really desire for God to work in me. I really desire for God to work through me. And I realized God actually wants that. He wants to do that. But what is the problem then if I want to and God wants it more than myself? So what is happening? Obedience. Would I obey? Do I trust him? When he asks me to jump, am I going to jump? Or am I going to reason in my natural mind? I can't jump, but that is too high. And I begin to give him 10 reasons. Sometimes I feel like Moses. When God told him, he said, God, but I can't speak. I'm thinking you've just spoken. You know, when God said to Moses what he wants him to do, and he says to God, but I can't speak. I'm thinking, you've just spoken, you can speak. And you know, it was even recorded in Acts that he was eloquent in speech. That Moses was eloquent in speech, but he felt, I can't do this. And sometimes God asks us to do things we felt we can't do. Genuinely, we felt in our natural state, I can't do it. I haven't got the faith for this. Genuinely, there are some things in my life I don't have faith for. I'm praying, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe. And I don't know about you. Maybe there are things in your life. There are things you felt is a little bit too much. Lord, I can't take it. God genuinely cares. Go to him. Say, Lord, I can't do it. I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me. And always, he wants us to be in that place where we can call upon him. And he hears us when we call. He wants to walk through us only if we are going to obey and if we are going to trust him. He said Jesus' call is mainly for us to obey him each day in our lives. If we are going to obey him in our lives, you will see a difference in our world. Jesus turned the whole world around because of 12 disciples. And how many Christians do we have in our world today? And what is happening? Why do we see people going the other way? Why do we see so much darkness around us? Because we, that we are the light, we are not shining bright our light. We are not telling people about the light. We are not showing people the way. We are so conservative. It's almost like, I'm saved, I'm all right. No, you are not. You have a neighbor on the left, you have a neighbor on the right. In fact, I need to make this confession. Recently, I felt very strongly, very, very strongly, to speak to my neighbor on the left and on the right, to tell them, not just to speak to them, or to tell them about Jesus. I've spoken to them, who said hello here and there, who said hi here and there, but I felt very strongly, no, it's enough. You know, it's been 2 years now, at least they have an idea who you are, but it's time to tell them really about Jesus, and I haven't. But this is what I'm praying for God to help me with. I need to speak to Laura, the lady on my left. She's got two amazing daughters by herself. I need to speak to my neighbors on the right. They're very funny neighbors. But I have a responsibility to speak to them. I have a responsibility to let them know what I believe and why I believe what I believe and encourage them. They might say yes, they might say no. But will I obey? Because God has placed it strongly on my heart to speak to them. Will I obey? Or am I going to shy away? It's very easy for me to shy away. In fact, it's easy for me to just come into my house, go out. Nobody knows what I'm doing in. Nobody knows when I go out. But the moment they begin to know who you are, they begin to find out, they begin to inquire. I just want to encourage us. Let us walk in that truth. Let us walk in that light. I said, even our salvation was based on obedience. That is the obedience of Christ. If you have your Bible, if you come to Romans 5:19, it says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So by the obedience of Christ, we are made righteous because Christ obeyed. By the obedience of Christ, you and I, we are made righteous. And in Hebrews 5:9, it says, he is the author of our salvation to those who obey him. He said, he is the author of salvation of those who will obey him. If you read Hebrews 5:9, that's what it says. So Jesus has called you and I into obedience just as he obeyed. Because if he never obeyed, if it doesn't come, you and I would not even be here. True obedience comes out of our relationship and love for Christ. If I genuinely love him, if I genuinely desire to be with him, my obedience will be a little bit easier because I'm closer, because I have that deep relationship with him. When you're in a deep relationship with someone, it's very easy, number one, to hear them and to maybe do what they say. But when we are far off, it's almost like we can't even hear. Some of us, we can't even hear. Sometimes God inspires us to do something we don't even know until when we get to that place of that deep relationship with Him and with His Holy Spirit inside of us to help us. Lord, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit divine, what do you want me to do? You know, it's very easy to get up in the morning and get on with your day, come back in the evening, you repeat the same thing the next day, and it's a cycle. And you end up getting caught in this busyness of life. Is life busy? Yes, life is busy. Very busy. Are there things to do? Yes, a lot of things to do. However, what are the things that will really go into eternity? What are the things that really matters? What are the things that really count? That the things that God plays upon our hearts and our obedience to Him. Maybe hearts of my running around, He asked me to stop and speak to someone. And I have to say this. There was a day, because I love to go for my evening walks. I love it. I just really like going for a walk in the evenings. When we put the children to bed, everything is settled. After prayer meeting or Bible study, whatever the time is, I go for a walk. I just love it. Evening walk. And there was this particular day I was going for a walk. And there was a man sitting on the bench, smoking, with an alcohol in his hands. As I was getting close, I felt to speak to him. I'm thinking, I don't really want to speak to him. This is all going on in my mind. But I felt very strongly, the Holy Spirit telling me, speak to that man. But I think I don't really want to speak to him. So I've got some time now. I'm getting closer. As I'm getting closer to him on the bench, I have a choice. I almost have that split second to decide. Am I going to speak to him? Am I going to obey? Or will I not? Recently, like Andy shared, when we were in Northern Ireland, I was in the museum, and there was this lady telling me about the Egyptian mummy in the museum. I wasn't really interested in the mummy. I've never been to Egypt. But I felt, shall I just go away? But I felt strongly, no, listen to her. So I kept listening about these mummies, which I'm not interested about anyway. And as she was talking, I felt the Lord saying to me, ask her a question. And I said to her, what do you think about life? What do you think about what happens when we leave here? And she said to me, look at these mummies, for example. They are gone. Nothing has happened. When we leave here, we leave here. Look at all these people. They've come, they've lived, they are dead, and that's the end. I think, okay, this is it. So I said, I don't think that is the end. Oh, she said, what do you mean? I said, when you die, it's not the end. She said, oh, that's the end. What do you mean? And then that gave me opportunity to tell her the gospel, to share with her the gospel, to tell her what happens when we leave here, that we have a soul. We have a soul that is immortal. We have to give an account, each and every one of us. I started encouraging her, telling her the gospel, and encouraging her to look into who Jesus is. So that is an opportunity. But I have that moment, although someone is telling me about something I'm not really interested in, but God uses that. And I'm sure each and every one of us, sometimes we have a conversation, we are not really interested in the conversation, but God wants us to hear why that person is speaking to us. And sometimes as they are speaking, you get something out of it. So obedience is very key. I have a choice whether to obey when I have those inspiration when God speaks to me. And there was one that really happened to me that I would never forget. And I was very thankful to God that I did that. So there was this day, while in Nigeria, we were praying. We just finished our fellowship and we were praying at the end. We were all standing up. I love to close my eyes when I pray, not because of any religious reason, just to say, to concentrate. And so I'm not saying, you know, you have to close your eyes when you pray. Anyway, every time I pray, I love to close my eyes. That is just me. And on this occasion, I felt strongly, open your eyes. The prayer was going on, and here is a battle going on in my heart, which is very, very interesting. So the man at the front was praying. I wasn't even listening to the prayer, of course, because there's something going on in my heart. Open your eyes. I'm thinking, no, I don't like to open my eyes when I pray. I'm not going to open my eyes. I felt strongly, open your eyes. I'm thinking, no, I love to close my eyes when I pray. Eventually, I obeyed. I opened my eyes. And within a split second, I opened my eyes, looked to my side, I saw something, and I closed my eyes back. And God was telling me something about that. As I opened my eyes, I saw someone walked in the meeting, walked. And I looked at him. I closed my eyes. And what did I see? I saw something in his back. I saw that the clothing he's got on is torn at his back. And I'm thinking, why do I need to open my eyes? Why do I need to see that? And I felt very strongly that the Holy Spirit is inspiring me to say, you know that nice shirt you just got? I said, yeah, give it to him. And within myself, I said, no. Straight away. Because I'm thinking, I want to wear that to church on Sunday. And I felt, no, I'm not giving it to him. And there was this battle going on in my heart. Give it to him. So I don't really want to give it to him. Give it to him. I don't really want to give it to him. This is true. This is true. Eventually, I obeyed. I gave it to him. You know, I went, took the night shirt. I gave it to him. And, you know, the glow, the joy in his face. Oh, thank you. I'm like, no, don't really thank me. Thank God I didn't give it to you. Left for me, I wouldn't give it to you. But, you know, sometimes God asks us to do something we don't really want to do. Asks us to speak to someone we don't really want to speak to. For example, my neighbor on the right, I don't really want to speak to them because they smoke a lot. All the time they are smoking. And I don't like smoke. But is it about me? No. I've got the problem. You know, I've got my own problem. That own problem is smoking, maybe. But exactly, I've got my own problem. But because I don't like smoke, because I can't really stand it, I don't really want to speak to them. I don't even want to say hello. But am I going to overcome myself? So it's about overcoming ourselves when God asks us to do things. When God prompts us, when he puts something in our hearts, in our minds to do, we have a choice at that moment. Are we going to overcome ourselves? Am I going to overcome myself and be obedient to him? And God rewards obedience. God rewards obedience. When we obey, he rewards. Sometimes you don't see the reward immediately. Sometimes it's in the future. Some of it we never see now until we get to the other side of life. When Christ comes and takes us to himself. You remember last week, Barry was talking about rewards. He said, God has not forgotten your labor of love. So those things that we did out of obedience, God is not forgotten. Those things that we did out of just obeying God. Sometimes it looks so stupid. Sometimes it looks so foolish when God asks us to do something. But deciding to trust him, saying, I don't even know why I'm doing what I'm doing, but Lord, I trust you and I will do it. So we have to obey him. We have to trust him. And when we do that, we see God's blessing. And we read about Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, when God told him, Isaac, the one you love, go and offer him at Mount Moriah. You know, he got there. He said to the slave, you wait here. Me and the lad will go forward. And when they moved forward, the lad said, Isaac, Dad, what's happening? You know, here is the stick. Here is the, where is the offering? Where is the ram? So God will provide himself, the lamb. And God did provide it. And we saw the blessing the Lord released upon him because of that act of obedience. I think the blessing actually, I don't want to read the whole of the Genesis, but I think it's in verse 19 or 18. If you open to Genesis 22, I think it's from verse 15 to 18. Genesis 22, 15 to 18. It says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now, why did all these blessings come? Why did God say this? Because you have obeyed my voice. And you know, in Deuteronomy 7, we read about the blessing. In Deuteronomy 7, God says, if you obey my voice, sent to the children of Israelites, he said, these are the blessings that will come upon you. And he listed the blessings. If you will obey, and you remember in Isaiah 119, I think, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you are willing and if you obey, you will eat the good of the land. And blessed are those who do not, blessed are those who hear the word of the Lord and do them. And this is what I've realized. Sometimes we know what to do, but the question is, do we do what we ought to do? I'm not speaking to new believers. I'm speaking to people who have this, you know, deeper understanding of the Bible, deeper understanding of the word of God. But the question is, do we do it? But the blessing is not just in the hearing. The blessing is in the doing. When we hear God's word, what do we do about it? When God speaks to you and I, what do we do about it? When the Holy Spirit inspires us, puts something in our heart, puts something in our mind to do or not to do. Because sometimes we think he will always ask me to do something. No. Sometimes he asks me to stop doing something. Yes. Will I obey? And our obedience to God sometimes will really cost us. Might cost us friendships. Might cost us, you know, things we like to do. We'll have to give it up. You know, my obedience has cost me some friendship in my life. People that I really, really like. I really, really like them. They're amazing people. But because I had to obey, they felt no. So because of my obedience, unfortunately, I had to lose them. I had to lose that friendship. I had to lose that relationship I had with them. People who are genuinely good people, but it's not enough, you know, to be a good person. It's something more than good. Salvation. Obedience leads to miracles. When we obey, we see things happen. When we obey, miracles happen. You remember in Luke chapter 5, when, you know, Simon, they've been fishing all night. They've been toiling all night. And these are not fools. These are professional fishermen. This is what they do for a living. And Christ said to them, you know, launch into the deep. You know, at that point in time, they have a choice. Simon said, Master, you know, we've been working so hard all night. However, at your word, we will do that. And when they launched into the deep, they had a net-breaking miracle. So sometimes you and I, God wants us to do something, an act of obedience, which leads to a great miracle, even beyond what we think, beyond what we desire, beyond what we can even imagine. Just an act of simple obedience, how you could have a net-breaking miracle. So as we carry on, we see this miracle. Because if we carry on in our scripture, John chapter 2, I'll read from verse 6, which is where we stopped. We read about the words of the mother of Jesus, and verse 6, now there were set there 6 pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And look at the next thing. Jesus said to them. So Jesus, at the same time, speaks to us. He speaks to them. The Holy Spirit of God inside of us speaks to us, ministers us. He said, I will send him your helper. He is our helper. What does your helper do? He's there to assist you, to tell you, oh, no, we don't need to go that way. He said, you will hear before you a small still voice. This is the way. Walk in it. So you and I as believers, as Christians, we know how the Holy Spirit sometimes speaks to us. No, don't go there. Or no, go this way. Or, you know, speak to that person. No, it's okay. You don't need to miss this person. Or stop doing something. Or stop seeing someone. Or whatever the Holy Spirit says to you is right inside of us, speaking to us. God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. He's fulfilled his part. He's given us his spirit that lives within us. But what are we doing with the Holy Spirit of God inside of us when he tells us, when he inspires us? So Jesus said to them, fill the pot with water. And the next line said, and they filled them to the brim. Basically, they did what Christ asked them to do. And verse 7, we hear Jesus speaking again. And he said to them, draw out some now and take it to the master of the feast. And what did they do? And they took it. But you know, at that point, this is my natural mind speaking to me. I'm thinking, if you were the servant, you know, I filled the water. Jesus said to me, take up the water, take it to the master of the feast. I'm thinking, it's still water, Jesus. This is still water. Nothing has happened. I filled it with water. Yes, I can see. It still looks like water. And this is what happens. You know, sometimes in our natural mind, it looks, that doesn't make sense. You know, in our natural mind. And like Barry says, sometimes, you know, you think when you don't have a job, you think what makes sense is go and look for a job. That's what makes sense. But when God tells you, no, stop, not this time, not yet. People start to think, what's happening to you? Sometimes when we obey, we look unusual. Sometimes people think we are foolish. People think we are strange. We are weird, to use the word that they use. Said, what is happening with you? Why are you doing that? But the act of obedience, sometimes it makes us look like we don't know what we are doing. You know, people will look at us as we are fools. But yes, I'd rather let people look at me as fools and before the height of Christ, I'm doing what I need to do, than people praise me and before God, I'm thinking, you're in total disobedience. I don't want that. I don't want man to approve of me. I want God to approve of me. It's okay if man does, of course. It's great. It's amazing. However, that is not my focus. And sometimes why we don't obey is down to this reputation. What will people think about me? People think I'm stupid. People think I'm foolish. People think it doesn't make sense. Truly, in a natural mind, it doesn't make sense. But God doesn't work without sense. God is way beyond that. He knows the beginning. He knows the end right from the very beginning. He knows even before you are conceived. He knows what will happen to me in the next 3 minutes. I don't know what will happen to me in the next 1 minute. So why will I not trust him? Why will I not obey him? But in my natural mind, I struggle. Look, it's water. You've asked us to fill it with water. Jesus himself said that. And they filled it. He asked them, take the water to the master of the feast. You think, okay, this is water. But yesterday, as I was thinking about this particular verse, a lot of things began to come to my mind on the importance of miracles and why people see miracles and why some don't. And this is what I've realized. For example, Jesus said to the man in John 9:11, to the blind man, he put mud in his eyes. He said, go to the water of wash, Siloam, and wash. I said to myself, at that point, that man has a choice. Oh, you've touched my eye, nothing happened. Why are you asking me to go to the to go and wash? I don't need to wash. Maybe that would have been the end of his miracle. He would not have the breakthrough. And you remember when Jesus said to the leper, to the 10 lepers that came to him from afar, they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. I'm thinking, Jesus, you haven't healed them. You've asked them to go and show themselves to the priest. So that means they have a part. And the Bible recorded on their way, going to see the priest, the leprosy left them. They were made whole. So sometimes God tells us something to do. We have a part to play in the miracle we see, in the miracle we receive. But sometimes you stop halfway. We have a choice. I could have said to myself, Jesus, you mean I should go to the priest? We should not even go into the town. And now you're asking me to go to the priest. I could have said, no, that doesn't make sense. I'm not going to the priest. I'm still a leper. I shouldn't mix with people. And now you're asking me to go to the cleanest person, the priest. No. But on the way, it is recorded, the leprosy left them. And that for me was an eye-opener. Thinking, Lord, help me. I've been designed to see miracles. Is there a part we should take part of that we are not completing the process, as it were? Is there something you're asking us to do? Sometimes he wants us to do our part and he does the rest. And sometimes he does his part and leaves us to do the rest. So we have a choice. We have a choice. And I just really want to encourage us on that. Let us be obedient. Let us be obedient to him. He said our obedience makes like I said before, it doesn't make sense. When you take the water, you think it's still water. But the moment the water became wine was at the spot where there was that exchange. The moment the servant gave it to the master of the festival, it became wine. And when he tasted it, he said, oh, you've got the best one. You've done the opposite of what people do. And this is what happens when the testimony comes. People think, what is that? I have seen raw miracles. And people were like, wow, how did that happen? And Lord, I desire to see more. I desire to see net-breaking miracles, as it's called, beyond my reasoning, even beyond what I'm thinking of, beyond what I'm desiring. And God is able to do that more than we can think or ever imagine. I still have a question. Am I going to obey Him? Am I going to trust Him? And this is why we are in the state where we are. But I wouldn't want to carry on too much, because I really want to give us a time of prayer. I felt it's very, very important for us to pray. And this is the desire that has been on my heart. And I'll just give us a very good time. I will have a moment of quiet. And I just want you to pray. And when you finish praying, or when I feel the time is right, I'll pray for all of us as well. What is Jesus saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit placing upon your heart? What is that specific thing you are trusting God for, genuinely trusting Him for? And it's almost like there is no breakthrough. It's almost like I can't see the light. I just wanted to, at a moment, just bow your head, bow your heart, in your own quiet, and just call to Him. Just pray to Him. Just ask Him, Lord, I need your help. Is there any disobedience in me, Lord? Please help me. My desire is to obey you, because I want to see a difference in my life. I want to see a difference in my world. Help me to obey you. Help me, Lord Jesus, to trust you. Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief. Please, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to put aside my own thinking, my own natural mind, thinking it doesn't make sense, thinking how is that possible. Lord, help me to die to yourself. May it not be about me. May it be about you, Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit divine, to be obedient to you. When you give me those promptings, when you put something in my heart, when you ask me to speak to someone, when you ask me to see someone, when you ask me not to see someone, when you ask me not to do something, or when you ask me to do something, please help me. I need your help, Holy Spirit divine. I don't want to be disobedient to you. I do not want to be. I want to be obedient, Lord. Help me. Your word says it's not by power, it's not by might, but it is by your Spirit. Holy Spirit divine, please help me. Help me to be obedient to your word. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, oh Lord. Lord, help each and every one of us this day. Help us to be changed, Lord, in this way. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be obedient to you. May we not be disobedient to your word. May we not take matters into our own hands. May it be all about you, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit divine. We turn to you. We yield to you. Please minister to each and every one of us. Minister to every heart. Minister to every soul. Supernaturally, Lord, beyond here, beyond our meeting, beyond this Sunday morning, please, Lord, help us to live in this consciousness. Help us to live in the reality of this truth, to be obedient to you. Lord, in these things that seem small, or the things that seem big to us, just give us that simple, a childlike trust. Give us that simple, childlike obedience to do. Whatever Jesus says to you, do it. Lord, help us to do that. Holy Spirit divine, come and help us. Thank you. speak to Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you praises. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is our teacher. We thank you that you are working in the lives of each and every one of us. Lord, we could go on speaking about people who obeyed you and how they saw miracles. But Lord, we just don't want to read about them. What we want to do, we want to be obedient to you, Lord. Lord, we want to walk in your power. We want to walk in you. We want to see miracle happen in our world. We want to see miracle happen amongst us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be obedient to your word, to be obedient to your promptings, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty precious name of prayer. Amen. Amen. And just the last verse, which is very, very important. It says, this beginning of signs did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So when we see what we desire, when we see that great miracle, when we see God at work, who receives the glory? He receives the glory. It's all pointing to him. So when we obey, as I said, it's a win-win situation for us. We see the miracle, he receives the glory. We are blessed, we are encouraged, we are inspired, he receives all the glory. It just that makes people to draw closer to him. So this is the essence of our obedience. So you can see it's a win-win situation. We are blessed as we obey him, as we trust him, as we see miracles, as we see things happen in our lives, in the life of our loved ones. And who takes the glory? Jesus. All glory goes back to him. And this is why our obedience is key. And when we don't see miracles, and we ask questions, Lord, why? And this is the answer. It comes back to us. It comes back to me. It comes back to individual, each and every one of us. We are not saying it because, are you pleading? Are we doing what we should be doing? Because if the lepers have stopped halfway, they may not see the breakthrough. If the man hasn't gone to the pool to wash, he may not see the breakthrough. And we receive the glory when they saw the breakthrough. All glory belongs to God. So this is what God has placed upon my heart. And I just pray that beyond this day, beyond this Sunday morning, we will just live in that consciousness of that truth. And I pray that, you know, as we obey, as we trust him daily, as we walk with him, it will help us to obey him more and more, and just to see great things happen in our lives.